to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton and Scott Eckersley, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. We will hear from Tom Crawford a little later in the show. We'll have our picks segment, and we'll talk about the college football games for this week. Want to bring in one of the biggest college football fans, one of the biggest sports fans in mid-Michigan, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Hello, John.
Hello there, Jack, and you've got a good team there with Dave and Scott, with Big Tom floating around the state right now with his good son, Cody. So good to say hello and good to talk to you.
You are in Miami as we speak, correct?
I am. I am in Miami as we speak, but I did see the game last night on television, so I did see what was going on with the Spartans.
Are people diving off the bridge about the Miami Heat yet?
Well, you know, a lot of complaining about that now. You know, one of the things to remember, when Wilt Chamberlain came to the Lakers, you know, Elgin Baylor lost his driving game, and, you know, it takes a while to adapt a lot of times when you get a lot of players that you think you're never going to lose a game together, so it's hard to work all the pieces together.
I was about to say, they're nine games in. It shocks me, and it's only because ESPN really has nothing better to do than talk about the Heat. But the fact that people, after nine games on around the horn in Pisa, are going, is it time to panic? Is it time to change coaches? And it's just, it's the beginning of the season. It happens.
Well, I know, but I think there's been a lot of expectations that you're never going to lose a game again. I mean, which is silly expectation, but that's kind of what people certainly still are going to keep going to games and everything. But but it's a storyline, you know, what's going on, what's happening.
So, well, and not to mention, I mean, look at their schedule. If you really think about it, to start off the year, they've had to play the Celtics twice in their first nine games. That's not an easy road to take. I mean, you could go the Lakers route, and you'd probably much more along the lines of 7-2, 8-1.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, you won't have me to disagree with. I'm simply saying.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm arguing with the people in Miami.
No. People never want to lose a game. You know, you say, golly, never going to lose.
Yeah, the joke was that ESPN had to change programming because they were gearing up for the Heat's perfect season. And once they lost, they didn't know what to do. And now four times they're beside themselves. But let's talk a little bit about the Michigan State-Eastern Michigan game that you watched last night. In terms of the psychology of a season-opening game, I have to tell you, Kalen Lucas was so relieved last night after the game. I had a chance to get into the locker room early and talk with him. And he was talking about how this was all he had thought about all summer, was he had to be there for the first game. Not that he had to be back for Duke or anything else. He had to be there for the first game. And psychologically, why would that be so important, John?
Well, because he wanted to be there when the real season, the regular season started. That was his goal. And apparently his rehabilitation was somewhat of a marvel, how quickly he was able to come back. And he wanted to be there. He wanted to play. And by golly, he looked really good coming off a major injury like that. So he was ready. He wanted to do it. It was his dream, his goal. Every hour he worked out, he planned, everything was to be there. And not only was he there, but he was ready to play. So, sure, that's a wonderful thing for him.
How about psychologically for the team in general to have your point guard back and healthy the first game of the year rather than wondering exactly when he's going to get back in time?
Well, I think that's critical. I think it's wonderful. He is the leader. He's been a great player for years. He really inspires by his play, and that is pretty more his form of leadership. And having him back there was wonderful, and everybody responded, I think, very well. Very, very good game. You wouldn't believe it, seeing Izzo on the sidelines. You'd think they were down by 40 points, you know. But that's, I guess, that when you're going to be a champion and you want to be, you have to be playing every minute at a championship level. So I guess he'll get mad for every 25-point win.
ESPN showing highlights again of Michigan State's win, and that's one thing when you're ranked number two in the nation. Your games are going to be broadcast and then rebroadcast and highlighted, and you're never going to get away from Michigan State basketball. But it's a good thing that Kalen Lucas was ready to go last night, Dave, because I think Mark Montgomery would have got some playing time if he hadn't. He was completely out of point guards. And the first couple of times Keith Appling touched the ball, everyone was going, oh, no, he's really a small shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked out very well for the Spartans. What about teams like Eastern Michigan or MAC teams that are going to get a lot of L's early in the season playing bigger opponents, but down the road, how much can that help them?
I think it's great experience. A lot of these are really good players. They're going to play very well against the competition at the same level as they are. And, again, Michigan State is maybe not a good representation because they can beat most teams in the country. So when Eastern comes in, they're going to be quite overmatched. But they didn't back down. I thought they played. They played as well as they could. They were undersized. But, certainly their terrific player did all the shooting for them, 28 shots, I guess, whatever it was. But as a whole, you learn. You play against the best. If you want to be the best, you're going to be. And that really helps you improve. You don't gain by not playing really good teams, and that's why these tune-up games are good for Izzo. But he's going to go play the best teams, and he may be able to beat them all. But there were a few years where he's gone in there and got beat himself pretty badly. So this is a good experience for them, and it's very helpful, I think, for MSU also. So it's a double win for everybody if everybody's trying to learn from it.
When you talk about tune-up games, I mean, you know, some of these Big Ten games to start off the season, Indiana playing Florida Gulf Coast, Minnesota playing Wofford, Ohio State, North Carolina A&T. If you're a coach, would you rather use these games as time to get your starting five time on the floor together and get that cohesion, or would you rather play some of your freshmen, see what you got off these benches, spread the minutes around? Which way would you go if you were a coach?
Well, I would probably do the way Izzo's doing it. You play some really tough teams, but you also have some weaker teams in your schedule and a couple exhibition games. I think you want to do a little bit of both, but you really have to play terrific teams or really good teams if you hope to really win your league or to go somewhere in the tournament, because you have to be tough and you have to have been challenged. And if you, let's say, keep winning all your games, eventually you're going to start getting to some tough games that you're not going to be prepared to play. And I believe Izzo has, everybody does a very good job at that.
Yeah,
in basketball,
yeah,
there are so many games that I think that becomes a critical thing to do. And it certainly hasn't hurt him in terms of when the lights go on and the pressure goes on and every ball you get is critical. It certainly helps at that time of the year.
John, there's a lot of apprehension in Ann Arbor today. And I'm not talking about Michigan at Purdue. The Michigan football team has lost to Michigan State, Penn State, looks like Ohio State, and now a basketball game against Upstate. We're trying to locate Upstate. I think if you head north, you'll eventually get there. But that's one of those games that, Michigan's going to have to do more than beat Harvard this year in the non-conference schedule, one of the most watered-down schedules imaginable. And I know some writers have a bet where they're going to win 10 games overall. But 10 games in a season for Michigan State, which is what will happen with a win over Purdue, is a remarkable football season. And then I think about Joe Paterno. And, Dave, I did a little math here. If you coach 35 years, which is a lot, that's a long career as a head coach, and you win 9 games a year, you're going to be 85 wins short of Joe Paterno. So you think of what he has had to do to win 400 games and how many changes he has seen. His first loss, believe it or not, was to Michigan State, 42-8 back in 1966. It might be symmetry, it might be poetic justice if his first loss and last loss come to the Spartans, which could happen on November 27th. But the Spartans haven't beaten Penn State in Happy Valley since 1965. John, very quickly, can you talk about that and how some teams just can't seem to win at certain places? It doesn't matter what players are there, what coaches are there. They just can't seem to win at a certain location.
Psychological thing. It's the thing that Iowa has to get over today when they're playing Northwestern.
Right.
it clearly is something that Notre Dame has had a number of years playing with us. I think that in this particular, in terms of beating Penn State at Penn State, that has just been one of those psychological things that has been really, really difficult for this team. Hoyer, actually, the 17-14 game was probably one of the closer games we've had there. You know, his last year, I think his junior year. But the key thing I believe here is that you've got to try to get the team that say this is the year. Give them the motivation. Try to instill in them that the past is the past, the present is now, and go in and try and win the game. But it does appear to be amazing how some teams in certain environments seem to always find a way to not win the game. So it's a psychological. Clearly, we can't work under the assumption that just happens because that team is always better, because the other team also believes that they can win that game. So you get a combination of a team believing fortune's on their side and then a team coming in questioning what's going to happen and worrying even if they don't say it. And then it becomes a real psychological chess match. And it's once we win there, then it's going to be not as big of a task whenever we would go back again. But definitely, that's a game, I think, a lot because of that it'd be hard to really bet against Penn State, even though I certainly want Michigan State to win. Yeah. But, boy, that's a tough thing to overcome.
You know, you think about how long ago this was, Dave. You go back to 1965, and Bump Elliott had four more seasons at Michigan before Bo Schembechler came in. And you had Bo Schembechler and Lloyd Carr, Gary Moeller, and then now Rich Rodriguez. So it has been an eternity since Michigan State has won a football game there. John, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your stay in Miami. We'll talk to you when you get back.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
All right. We will be back with more. 393-3700, 393-3700, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.